This podcast replay is brought to you by Moodyus Dental. They offer same-day dentistry with the latest CIRIC technology. Take advantage of your insurance benefits for 2019 before the year runs out and they're all gone. Call 305-821-0231 or moodyusdental.com.
And there we go. Do we have Mr. Ennis? Ben, how you doing?
We should have Ben, man.
Ben, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well. How's it going?
Oh, it's going great, my brother. Thank you for taking some time. And, of course, you can follow him on Twitter at SportsNetBen. Catch his work there at 590 The Fan. All right, first of all, dude, I got to find out about this. All right, I see this story, and it says Masai Ujiri might be leaving Toronto to go to the Knicks. Now, this has been rumored and talked about in the past. Why does this fester? What is Masai Ujiri smoking that he would leave Toronto? That is a great situation. Looks like a great ownership group. Phenomenal fan base. He's done an awesome job. Why would he want to join that clown in New York? Is there any truth to this?
You think we got him?
All right, Ben, are you there?
Yeah, okay, I think I got you.
All right, repeat your answer on is Masai smoking the good stuff, because I don't get it. I don't get it, bro.
Well, it's legal here, so he wouldn't be faulted for it. But
okay.
Man, like the stuff you would need to be smoking to sign up with James Dolan and the Knicks is probably not legal. Like the legal stuff doesn't take you to another planet, which is where your brain would have to be. To leave the Raptors and their ownership situation and their sturdiness and this fan base.
Thank you.
And everything surrounding the Toronto Raptors to leave for the Knicks. He's not going to do it. We've talked to people in New York, we talked to Frank Isola, who's pretty plugged in New York last week on our show, and we asked him the same thing. He's been all over the story. Yeah, it's a pipe dream. I mean, the only way I could see it happening is if the league steps in, if the NBA's looks at the Knicks and says, this situation is so brutal, it's so dire, that we need to step in and stabilize one of our marquee franchises, and they kind of force it. But, I mean, imagine the look.
But you can't do that.
You can't
do that. You can't force Masai to leave Toronto. I mean, that would be disgusting if you would force somebody to do that. Toronto should have that guy forever, bro. That guy, you got to build a freaking statue for that guy outside that arena. That guy's one of the three best GMs on the planet, bro. On the planet.
Yeah, in the history of pro sports. I mean, and it goes. I mean, I where do you even start with this guy? Because he pulls off, of course, yeah, the Kawhi Leonard trade, which, you know, I mean, it seems so obvious in retrospect, but at the time was kind of viewed with, like, a raised eyebrow, because you are giving up one of the franchise icons and DeMar DeRozan for a guy who seemingly didn't want to be here.
Right.
It ends up in a championship. They give up some of their future at the trade deadline, picking up Marc Gasol. They don't have a first-round pick this year, and you know what they do? They get a guy at Ole Miss in Terrence Davis, who was going to be a second-round pick, but wanted a guaranteed deal. They pick him up as an undrafted free agent, and all of a sudden he's turned himself into a 20-minute-a-night rotation piece. They basically just fabricated a first-round pick out of nowhere. That guy's the middle of the first round if they do that draft again, like today, just a couple of months after it happened. There's just not enough superlatives you can attach to Masai Ujiri's name. He's a legend here. They will, like, it's not hyperbole to talk about him eventually being immortalized in statue form.
No.
Outside Scotiabank Arena at some time when it's all said and done. That's going to happen. I don't know, like, what the scenario would be where he would leave to go to the Knicks.
Look at Van Vliet, how he's developed. Siakam. I mean, this guy's freaking awesome, dude. This has to be some New York writer or two that are kind of fanboys and they're trying to keep this thing alive or something. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of.
I get it in a way, right? Of course. You know, does James Dolan, do the New York Knicks want Masai Ujiri? Like 1,000% yes? Of course they want Masai Ujiri. And so far, that's the only reporting we've seen, right, is that the Knicks will make a serious attempt to go get Masai Ujiri, which you assume means everything short of an ownership stake in the franchise. But that's what it would take, because nobody's going to outbid the Raptors ownership group, which is there's a single owner in Larry Tannenbaum. And then there's the two major telecommunication giants, Bell and Rogers, that are part of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, which own the Raptors. There is no number too big for the Raptors to match for Usai Ujiri. The amount of money he made that ownership group with that playoff run, the amount of attention he's drawn to basketball in the city, which is still the secondary sport in Toronto, right? Like, it's a hockey town, we get that. But the amount of inroads that this Raptors team has made over the last 25 years, and specifically over the last one, that can't be quantified.
And by the way, and the Raptors are way more relevant too than the Leafs, actually. So it's crazy, yeah. Right? I mean, we know the Leafs will always dominate because it is what it is, where you're at. But it's funny because the Raptors lately are the better organization by far. It's not even close. And you know, I admire what they've done from afar, because being here in Miami, we have watched what Riley has built here forever, and that's what they're doing in Toronto. They're building that kind of an organization. If Masai's, you know, if the rumor was, let's put it this way, Ben. If the rumor was, all right, Masai is leaving for the Clippers because he wants to work for that owner and Jerry West. Okay, I get it. Great organization, he's leaving. But the Lakers or the Knicks, are as much as they have their marquee and their markets and all that, the ownership groups are disaster. There's dysfunction all over. It's like, why would you want that kind of headache? I get it if Masai was actually, you know, rumored for a good franchise that he wanted to leave. Fine, I get that. But the Knicks, dude, come on, bro.
Well, this is the way, I mean, this franchise has been viewed by just about everybody in NBA circles for the majority of its 25-year history, right? It's like Chris Bosh leaves, Vince Carter leaves,
right.
Guys leave, right?
Right.
It's not that people arrive, but we should actually be talking about the reverse in this case. It's like not only is Masai Ujiri not going to leave to go to the Knicks, but the Knicks have a guy in R.J. Barrett, a rookie, their first-round pick, third overall, that is from the Toronto area, that is beloved in this country. He's going to represent Canada this summer in the Last Chance Olympic qualifying tournament. And when he's done his rookie deal in 6 years, like, that's what we should be. That's the more realistic scenario. Is not that the Raptors lose. They're the most successful executive in the history of this franchise and maybe any other franchise in the history of North American professional sports, but that R.J. Barrett is sucking it up for the better part of a decade with that horrible organization, then eventually turns heel and comes home to the Raptors after they've won, you know, three championships in a row.
Yeah, and there are no franchise tags in the NBA. All right, so tonight, my brother, we got the 15-4 Raptors against the upstart and surprise 14-5 Miami Heat in your town. Your thoughts on this game tonight?
It's a great test for the Raptors. We talked about it today on my radio show that, man, a couple of the guys that were the most dangerous throughout the entire postseason for the Raptors last year left their teams. Malcolm Brogdon, who the Bucks decided not to bring back for money reasons only.
Right.
He's gone, goes to Indiana. And Jimmy Butler. Like, okay, so Joel Embiid is the MVP candidate. And yeah, Ben Simmons was the rookie of the year. And get that. Like, who was the heartbeat of that team? It was Jimmy freaking Butler. No one would dispute it. And going back before that, this Raptors team, before they were the elite team that they are now, had, like, I want to say a 20-plus game losing streak against the Chicago Bulls. And the Bulls weren't great shakes throughout a lot of that time, but Jimmy Butler was an absolute Raptor killer. So Raptors fans are going to be watching this game. I'm very much on the edge of their seat waiting for Jimmy Butler to drop some big buckets. But this Raptors team, man, it's so weird for a team coming off a championship like they were to have expectations the way they were to start the season. But there's nobody, like even the most optimistic person in the world, optimistic Raptors fan, could have never anticipated what we've seen this season through, what, like 20 games or so, that Pascal Siakam looks like a legit top 10 player in the NBA. And they've done their best work the last 11 games without Kyle Lowry, who might be back tonight, but might not as well. He's dealing with a broken finger. They've done all of this without their second-best player for the majority of the season. So really looking forward to a stiffer test than the Raptors have seen for the majority of the season. They had the 14th strongest strength of schedule so far this year. I mean, they handled the Jazz pretty easily, which is a good team in their last home game. But, yes. It'd be good to see some more tougher competition for this Raptors team.
And how about Van Vliet, man? I mean, that kid just took it up another notch and said, hey, I'm just going to prove to you guys that what you saw the last year was not a fluke. And that kid just stepped up big time this year.
He's such a wild case, because I know it feels like the entire playoffs were incredible for him. It was really just the last couple rounds. Like, he had his kid, I think his third child was born in the middle of that Bucks series in the Eastern Conference Final, and he basically didn't miss from three in the final two rounds of the postseason. Before that, there were legitimate conversations as to whether he should still be in the rotation. In fact, in game six against the Sixers, I want to say he played like 5 minutes. He was unplayable and then couldn't miss. And since then, I mean, Lowry goes out, and we're talking about a pending free agent in Fred VanVleet. I think he's shown everybody that he can be a starting point guard on like a good team, not just a playoff team, but one of the upper echelon teams in all of the NBA, because that's what he's done through the first 20 games of the season, and more than half of those games been the starting point guard for this team. And the offense hasn't been the calling card. Like, they have the best opponent field goal percentage in the NBA. It's been the defense. But the way he's continued to facilitate Pascal Siakam and kept the offense afloat, it's been wild. And I can't imagine what his price tag is going to be at the end of the season.
Well, they'll pay it, bro. They got to pay it, right? They'll keep him. He's not going anywhere, I would imagine.
No. They have to keep him. I mean, they have his bird rights. They're gonna keep him, especially considering. I mean, they've already the free agent class this upcoming offseason isn't great, and he might actually be at the top of the list. And two, Kyle Lowry's under contract. They signed him to a 1-year extension before the season started this year for $30+ million. It's a 1-year deal, though. The point guard situation for this team beyond next season is very much in flux. But I think Fred showed a lot of people that, you know what, you might not have to look outside of the organization. You might just have to lock this guy up long term, and he'll start with Kyle next year, and then maybe Kyle moves on someplace else, or he takes a pay cut, and he's the number one point guard for this team in 2021-22.
Ben Ennis, by the way, does his work there at the Fan 590 there in Toronto. You can follow him on Twitter at SportsNetBen. Ben, one other thing that I heard, you know, the Spurs are stinking it out. They are having a terrible year. So now they're talking about maybe unloading DeRozan and Aldridge to other teams. And DeRozan, they actually rumored and threw in the name Toronto, possibly. Do you believe there's any shot that a reunion could happen?
Oh, man. I saw this report initially. I think it was Bleacher Report had it at first, and they quoted an unnamed Western Conference executive as talking about the price tag being one of Marc Gasol or Serge Ibaka and a first-round pick, which is, like,
no
laugh
way
out loud funny.
Yes.
And then, like, there's just no chance.
Nope.
I mentioned the Raptors. I mentioned their number one in opponent field goal percentage, which I guess also plays into this. I mean, DeRozan's a one-way player, right?
Yep, no three-pointers.
There's not a lot happening.
No three-pointers.
There's not a lot happening, defensively, and there's nothing happening beyond the arc. This Raptors team is number one three-point shooting team in the NBA. So, I mean, there's such a multitude of reasons why it wouldn't work out. And the one that even goes beyond the numbers is, hey, he's still a beloved figure in franchise history. And every time the Spurs come to town, he gets a huge ovation. And again, maybe down the line, he has his number retired as well, but he returns to this Raptors team right now. And where does he fit? He's a bench piece and, like, maybe not even a rotation guy. Are you going to do that to one of your franchise icons, is bring him back as like a kind of a make good to the fans? And that's what it would be for, right? Not to mention the price tag also, right? The guy's on a ginormous deal. But yeah, it would be a little nod to the fans, I suppose. But
you trade for him. No, you trade for him. You screw yourself with Van Vliet. That's basically what it is, right? Because then you become this ridiculous tax team for no reason at all. Where I could see this happening, Ben, and you tell me if I'm wrong, is Twilight, the end of his career. Wherever he goes next, at the end of that run where he's got maybe a year or two left, he goes back to Toronto to, like, close out his career, come off the bench. Dwayne Wade-like, you know, that kind of deal. I can see that happening. But right now, yeah. I laughed at that deal, too. And also, you're not getting a first-rounder anymore for DeRozan. That's not going to happen anymore.
No, the situation you outlined, yeah, twilight of his career. He sees the end on the horizon. Maybe he's, a role player returning to Toronto. Every time he comes off the bench, gives them a lift. There's no lofty expectations for him. That's actually the scenario that a lot of Raptors fans painted for Vince Carter returning to the Raptors. But, yeah, he's not interested in that because he wants a bigger role. It's not like he has a huge one in Atlanta, but he doesn't want to have the tiniest of all bench roles with a team that has, like, title aspirations. But, yeah, that's for sure. That's a more reasonable expectation for DeMar DeRozan return to the Raptors. It's not in the middle of, the prime of their contention window, giving up assets to get a guy who's grossly overpaid and only an offensive player.
How's the development of OG gone this year?
He's been incredible. Now, it started off really, really well, and then twice this season he's been poked in the eye, once by Kawhi Leonard to start his little injury woes on the road trip that they had. They went 3-2 in a 5-game Western road trip. That was the trip that they beat the Lakers and kind of opened a lot of people's eyes. But no pun intended, because, OG keeps getting poked in the eye. But no, he was a guy, man, we were having legitimate conversations about him and Pascal 2 years ago as to who was the more interesting prospect.
That's right.
Who was the guy that was going to be the real, high ceiling guy that you could dream on, and I for the life of me thought it was going to be OG. Now last year he was totally thrown off his developmental curve because he had some family tragedy, lost his father, and then he had the appendix removed and he didn't play in the postseason, and now all of a sudden he's taken Kawhi's starting spot and he's been incredible. He's always hit threes. He has kind of an unorthodox shooting stroke, but he's always been really consistent hitting the threes. He's added a little bit of a tighter handle, and the decision making is so much better this year. But the thing that I think is the most the thing that you can project the most with him, and it was the reason why him and Siakam were tied together, is the defense, the switchability on defense. OG and Pascal, like those two, and then Marcus all still having the court awareness to protect the rim. Those two specifically, though, Siakam and Ananobi, the defense they have guarding multiple positions are the big reason why the Raptors are number one in opponent's field goal percentage.
It's going to be a lot of fun tonight. Both teams can shoot. Both teams can play some defense. Both teams are solid, great organizations. Should be a lot of fun tonight in Toronto at 7:30 when they tip it off between the Heat and the Raptors. Ben Ennis does his deal at 590 The Fan. You can catch him there. Follow him on Twitter at SportsNetBen. Ben, thank you for taking some time, my man. We really appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. Good to talk to you.
Good stuff, baby. Be good. There you go. Ben Ennis, man. Good stuff. Appreciate him joining us here on the program to get a little preview.
That was immense effort, considering the international calling situation and everything. And
yeah, that was our first international interview, or second.
No, because remember Martin from the UK.
Oh, they were here.
They were here. He had the 561 area code number. T-Mobile.
Yep.